I'll be your living sanctuary. Father, you're singing it to him now. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, right, with thanksgiving. I'll be your living, will you? Sanctuary before you. Amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary. That's your desire. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have a visitor with us. We always say when we have a visitor, we say, welcome. You come back. Be with us again. You're just part of us. So that's just the way we do it. You're a visitor when you come one time, but after then, you're just part of us. Amen. So good to see you. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your scripture, turn to Revelations 22, and we'll try to read verse 8 through 13. Remember Brother Gary's family there, the Atkins family, and the loss of what one we call Granddaddy. And so just remember that, and just, you know, keep praying that the Lord would bless them and take care of them. All right? Yeah. Also, now we've told you a time or two, and we keep saying it, where those that will be on tape can hear it, that the internet now is live on the audio. So if you want to click on, you go right onto the screen, you'll see Brother Joe has placed a little thing in the middle to direct you, and you can actually, if you're missing the service and you're at home, you can just click on your computer and listen to the service right while it's going on here live, because it's set up that way that you can do that. So, you know, that's one of the benefits that we have, and we appreciate that. All right. Now, we also have, June made us a, and Wade made us a thing up here that we said we'd have on the front, where when you're coming in to the church to get the little cards to fill out to do your, you know, for the prayer requests and things. So it's up here on the piano. So just get that, fill it out, lay it up on the podium here, or either give it to Terrence or someone, and they'll be sure to read those prayer requests. We thank God for our prayer, and we believe in it, because it is the truth. Amen. Revelations 22, verse 8 through 13. I think, is that all the announcements? I think all of them was made by Wade a while ago. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for the day and the time that we have. We thank you for thy word that you've given unto us. And Lord, how thankful in our heart we are that we can read your word, we can study your word, that we don't have to be like we used to be, that we didn't know what this meant and what that meant, that now you've made it known unto us. So now we can read the word with a clarity and not having to depend upon somebody else, but to read it and let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Because it's the day and the hour we're living that you promised to make all things manifest in this day, and we thank you. Just have your way. Bless the sick. Bless each one, Lord. Bless the Atkins family there and the loss of the loved one. And just be with each one. Have your way. Forgive our sins, because we want to walk in you. And to do that, we must be pure and clean and have our sins covered by the blood. So guide us now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 22. I was going to end the series, but it'd probably be this message and at least one more that we were on the book of Revelation. This will be message number 59, and we'll try to end it maybe Sunday morning. I was going to not title these with it, but I feel like it needs to be, because it needs to be in the series about the book of Revelation. All right. So just, you know, I really, really had a wonderful time over the weekend on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, fellowshipping together with Brother and Sister Reed. We really enjoyed the messages and things. And that's when I came across things that I was going to speak on. And I thought, well, I really need to include them into this series we're in. And maybe, you know, end up with that away. But I really had a wonderful time, really enjoyed it. You that didn't get to hear it, make sure you hear the messages, because they are wonderful messages. They're great. Okay. Revelations 22, beginning in verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And we have a testimony, as I told you, that to write out your testimonies and things. When we don't have testimony time, write them out, and we'll be sure to take time to read them and everything. And you know, because we believe in testimonies. This is from Sister Julie Krantz, and if I miss reading it, now you forgive me, because I'm not that good of a reader, but we'll try to read it. She said, I'm going to send it to you, Brother Dale, and you just read it to the people, of a testimony that she has. She says, My eye doctor told me today that he's going to fix it so I won't have to wear glasses or contacts anymore. Now, most of us know the background behind the story that Sister Julie, back years ago, a doctor or something about putting in the wrong drops or some form, something happened that caused her eyesight to be messed up. Alright. And, she's been having trouble, and she says her glasses bothers her wearing them and the contacts and all because of having to do that. But now we'll just read what she said. My doctor told me today that he's going to fix it so I won't have to wear glasses or contacts anymore. And if any of you have been around me more than a minute, you probably know what a thorn in my flesh it's been for the past 24 years since I had glaucoma surgery at age 18 when I was forced to wear hard contacts and even further back with the glasses since fourth grade. If you know me at all, then you must know that I'm so stinking excited. I can't hardly stand it. To be able to wake up in the morning and see my alarm clock right off the bat, or not have to slap the countertop blindly till my hand lands on my glasses. To be out in the wind or dust, or even to sit under the ceiling fan at church and not be blinded by watering eyes or double over in pain. Or to never have to dig my lenses out of the corner of my eye with my fingernail. I could go on and on, but you get the point. Here's the deal. My doctor retired last May. You know, sometimes we don't think the Lord is in things, but he's always working. So listen to the testimony. Said, my doctor retired last May, and I just now went to see my new eye specialist today. I always use Dr. Reiser. I always used to ask Dr. Reiser, can I have laser surgery yet? And his answer was always no. You're not a candidate as long as the procedure still involves raising the eye pressure. So, of course, I had to ask my new doctor the same question today. His answer was the usual no, too. But then we went on to discuss my vision in general, and that I had cataracts since I was 29, and they're starting to become noticeable to me, and not just by microscope. That's when he said that when we went in to do the cataract removal surgery, he would correct my nearsightedness then. I thought I surely misunderstood him and made him repeat it three times. No, I will not need glasses or contacts after that. Maybe a mild reading glasses, but that's it. Now, I might not be seeing 20/20, and there's nothing he can do about the blind spots and loss of perennial, you know, side vision and color blindness and stuff like that. Right now, the best I see is when I wear my contacts is 20/40 in the left eye and 20/200 in the right, due to the fact that they cannot really get a good reading in that eye because my blind spot is in the center. I can't read anything with that eye. He might can do better, but even if that's the best, it's still awesome because it won't require glasses or lenses anymore. I don't know when all this is going to happen, and it don't really matter. I waited 24 years for this, so I can wait a little longer if I have to. I have to see him again in 3 months, and we'll talk more about it then. Just knowing it's possible after so long is so wonderful. I just had to share this with everybody. I still have those other problems till the Lord takes them away too, but I consider this a gift from God that He gives doctors the knowledge to do this kind of thing. See, it just goes to show there really is a silver lining on every cloud, because you wouldn't think anybody would be thanking God for cataracts, would you? If it weren't for getting them removed, there is no other way for the doctors to correct my nearsightedness, because the other procedure is too dangerous for somebody who already has vision loss due to high pressure. Abraham waited 25 years for the promise, and it's going to be about that long for part of my promise to come to pass. It might just be part of my problem solved, but I'll sure take it and be waiting with even more faith for the rest of it. For those of you who have been praying for me, I thank you, and I hope that you can see, I hope that you see once again that God does hear our prayers, and that it gives you faith to keep believing for whatsoever you ask Him in His name. Amen. You believe it? I believe God will make it. Amen. I believe He'll make it possible. And when she gets where she can see better and everything, she might not think Brother Gary's too good looking. But you know, he can solve that problem. Amen. All right. I've been speaking, as I said, on the book of Revelations for quite a while now, and I want to try to bring down to an end to what I've been talking on, but I just felt led to bring this part of the message and everything to a place that I've already said many of these things before, and part sermons and et cetera, but just to put it out in one, and then the people on the internet system can at least know what I believe. Because if we say what we believe, then maybe someone can help us. They can correct us, and I'm always open for correction, you know, and all, as long as it's what the prophet said and what the Bible said. If it's just an opinion, then it doesn't amount to much, because I have my opinion, you have your opinion. But we just stick with what we can with the message and believing it. Now, what I read here from Revelation 22 is that John comes to this angel that has been delivering these things unto him, and he bows down to worship him. And that angel says, "Don't worship me." Said, "I'm one of your fellow prophets," you know, fellow servants over in another scripture we'll read in a minute. He said, "Worship God." Right. Now, a lot of people in the message believe that that angel that come to John on Patmos was Brother Branham. Now, a lot of people believe that. Some in one form, some in another form of ways of believing it, and all like that, and they are you know, they have a right to their opinion and their thoughts, but I also must speak what I believe to my people to keep us from being into a problem. And if you believe that, that's your business. If you believe Brother Branham come to John on Patmos, well, that's up to you. I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. I'm just going to show why I don't believe that was it. First off, in number one basis, if that was Brother Branham that come to John on Patmos, that would be pre-existence, because this happened about 2,000 years ago in glory. And that's what the prophet said about it, even to the opening of the seals and things. See, and I don't believe in pre-existence of souls or anything like that. The prophet didn't believe in it, and I don't believe in it. And see, a lot of people said, "Well, what it was, Brother Dale, it was the Word." Well, okay, then you won't have any problems if you believe it was the word that come to John. You know, you won't have any problems with what I'm going to be saying about it. Because I believe that it was the word that come to John on Patmos. I believe amen on that. I believe that's it. But as to say that it was Brother Branham that came to John, I think you're going a little bit too far. You're making it too close to a deity form. See? Because, and I'll be showing it and proving it by the Bible, and then you can take from that. And what's now, listen, I firmly believe that that was a prophet that come to John on Patmos. I do. I believe that. I've always believed that. But as to say that it was Brother Branham, now, you know, that puts it down too much into a narrow-minded point to me. Now, I'm just saying what I believe now. And I'd rather believe that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that come to John on Patmos. You say, yeah, but the Lord Jesus Christ. I said Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch, I didn't say Jesus. Because I'll give you the quote. I done gave it to you where Brother Brown said, no, that wasn't Jesus that come to John on Patmos. I don't believe it was Jesus. Because the body's on the throne. See, it wasn't Jesus, but it was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the God of the prophets. I was discussing this with a brother just recently, and I said, well, brother, why narrow it down to Brother Branham? Why not make it all the prophets? Why not determine it to be all of it? Then you won't have any problems. And you won't be doing like, see, when they asked John, they said, John, are you Elijah? You know, Elias, the scripture. He said, no. No. See, you'd say, what he was. But he was only part. Because there's five times of the coming of Elijah in the Bible. Elijah, Elisha, then John the Baptist, then Brother Branham in the last days, and then through the two witnesses, one of them to Israel, will be the five times of the coming of Elijah. So when they asked him that question, he emphatically stated no. And they said, well, who are you? He quoted the scripture for who he was of Isaiah 42, I guess it is, 40 or 42, where he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So if you'd have said to Brother Branham, Brother Branham, are you Elijah the prophet? He didn't ever say he was Elijah the prophet. Because that would be putting it down to a one person again. But when they asked him what it was, God testified, your message shall forerun the second coming. God testified of who the man was, and we believe that. We believe God sent a messenger, and thank God for the messenger. Alright? But yet you've got to separate the messenger in the point of the human element from the fact of who would be recognized there in the scripture. Alright? But see, that was Jesus Christ. Now, this, I'm telling you what I believe up front, then we'll prove it by the prophet's message in the Bible. I believe that the one that come to John on Patmos, because he came three times. We're going to show that now. All right. There's three times that that John starts to worship him. All right. And he refuses it. All right. Because see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, when they would try to bow down to him at times, he would accept their worship. Go back and study your Bible. But then at other times when they would try to worship him, he'd say, don't worship me, worship God. Why? Because he knew what they were thinking. Right? He knew what their emphasis was upon. Their emphasis was upon the human fleshly part of him, and he was saying, don't worship this human element. But the very God of glory was dwelling in that human element. I mean, you'd have to agree with that even if you were going to go with the River Jordan idea and make it right, and I don't agree with it, but you'd still have to say that God was in the man. But you see, Jesus never claimed himself to be Son of God. He always said he was Son of Man. Son of Man was a prophet. Now, I got a little something coming up later, Lord willing, Sunday on this. But Son of Man is a prophet. But you see, when it comes down to it, we'll read to you what the prophet said, that this was not an angel that come to John on Patmos. Alright, then that would remove the seventh angel human element of William Branham, because he was the messenger to this last age. You agree? See, he was the angel. Alright? But now, he was not the angel of the covenant. Now, he can be typed as that. John the Baptist was typed as the angel of the covenant. You can type him as that, but be real careful how far you type. So don't type John too far. Just do what the prophet said and say that he was the angel of the covenant. And then you can tie your scriptures together, because without Brother Branham, you and I wouldn't have nothing anyway. So then we've got to believe what he says about it and put the emphasis where he puts the emphasis and believe what he said, that he turned us back to the Word, and then we can read the scriptures and see what the scripture says about it. See, then that won't be any problem now. Alright? Now, Brother Branham was not the prophet. The prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Branham was a prophet, like Jeremiah was a prophet. John the Baptist was a prophet. See? Ezekiel, those men were a son of man, a prophet, that the son of man, the prophet, come and use to bring his word, and that's why they would always say, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, you understand what I'm saying now? That's why they would say, "Thus saith the Lord," because it was the Lord speaking through them. It was not them. They were just a trumpet, as the prophet said, that is perfectly mute until someone blows it. So then, being that he was a son of man, that the son of man come to reveal himself through. He was a prophet, like the prophets were, that the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, used to speak through. Because we'll read one in a minute where it's the spirit of prophecy. It's the spirit of prophecy. And we read now here that he said, "Don't worship me," Revelation 22. He said, "because I am of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book," said, "worship God." Now, no prophet would ever receive worship. I've covered it, now to try to show you. Even the Lord Jesus, when he was here as the prophet, the prophet, not just a prophet. Jesus wasn't just a prophet. He was the prophet. That's why that Moses said that God will raise up a prophet like unto me. And if you don't hear him, you'll be in trouble. Why? Because Moses was a prophet. He was a mouthpiece for God. All right. Now, see, the prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't have any problem with that understanding up to that point, because that would place us into the position to understand. And then I gave you the quote, which I've given you many times, page 13, Church Age book, where Brother Brown said that this was the only book in the Bible whereas that Jesus Christ, through appearing, not though appearing, through, THROUGH, through appearing to a scribe to write. You see, everybody thinks, well, this was the Lord Jesus over here, but then Brother Branham come over here. Now, my biggest point is this. I thought the Bible was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham is a part of that in the basis that he would be the fulfillment of the scriptures of the end time prophet. But you and I are part of that also because we are part of the body of Christ. And see, being that then, we are nothing. That's why even Jesus said, there's none good, no, not one. The best you and I could think about being would be what the Bible said, that our righteousness would be as filthy rags in the sight of God. They wanted a law back there, and when it was given, they got a revelation of Jesus Christ, but they thought they got a book of rules to live by, and then couldn't even live by the book of rules, and didn't even try to live by the book of rules to the basis. And they were guilty of breaking it and guilty of asking for it. All right, but now watch what we're getting to. Now, we read here in the scripture, Revelation 22, and the same one is still speaking. So now did you listen and follow along with the reading? So let's read it again now. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, mighty powerful something right there that he says, don't seal it. Who would be able to say those things? For the time is at hand. What? The time to understand. Right? He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Page 292 of the Church Age book, that's the coming of the capstone. Because the capstone comes in the last days, and when it does, it says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy. He that is righteous, let him be righteous. That's what the capstone says in the end time. And Brother Brown put it on down into plain language of saying, said, then you sister, says, you that cutting your hair, said, just keep right on cutting it. Because it ain't going to change nothing. See, because once the headstone comes and unites with the body, then just go right on. Because why? Because you're not going to have an opportunity anyway. But listen. Now the one that's the he that's talking in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. Now did that change off from this man over here and then the Lord Jesus come on the scene? Or was this the Lord Jesus? Because only the Lord Jesus could say that. Now if you got a Bible that's a red letter edition, you see immediately that verse 12 and 13 is red letter. Meaning that was Almighty God Himself speaking. Alright? Now if you don't have it, then we'll just read the rest of the scripture to still prove the point. See, watch what it said. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now there's no one could say that outside of Almighty God. Right? No prophet can say that, no priest can say that. You can't say it, and I can't say it. Only God can make that statement. So it evidently must be the same person talking. So as I said now, this is in the Bible three times. All right? So there's the one that you're dealing with. Turn back to Revelations 1. And let's read of this scene again. When you go back to that, you immediately follow through verse 12. Well, let's go down to verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That's why people say, well, that angel there All right. That's all right, if that's the way you believe it. But see, that angel that he sent to his servant John would have had to have been Christ. Because he couldn't have said what he did over in chapter 22. So now let's read here, and we've been through all of this to prove that Revelation 1:12, he turned to see the voice, and when he did, he saw the bride, and saw one what in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Didn't say the Son of Man, one like unto the Son of Man. I'm reading the scripture now. Clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Feminine, showing the bride form. All right. Now just go right on down. You can keep reading what it shows. But look at verse 17. And when I saw him, who? The him, the one that's standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. One like unto the Son of Man. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. All right. I gave you the quotes where the prophet said. Page 110, 7 Church Age book. That's the message, not the Church Age book. This is the 7 Church Age book. It was back there preached in 1954, 5:12. Said, this is not a prophet. You read it. Then he goes down to paragraph 257, Patmos vision, preached in 1960, 1204 in the evening. Said, this is not a prophet, it's God. So now you must take this one out of the way. You must take this situation totally out of your proof of who it is that come to John, because this would be Almighty God that come to John. And that's what I contend about Revelation 22, because it's red letter that it was Almighty God in the form of the prophet, which would have been the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Jesus, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the form of the prophet that would not receive worship when he was on earth, because he was fulfilling the office of a prophet. That's why he kept saying, who do man say I, the Son of Man, I am? He was in word form, all right? Now, I gave you the quotes where that Brother Branham says Revelations 12 and 13 is the bride, and the voice and the person is the same, all right? Now remember, this one spoke in Revelations 1 in the first person, that I am Alpha and Omega. This one that we talk about appearing to John also spoke in Revelations 22 and said in the first person that I am Alpha and Omega. Now, a prophet can speak in the first person. But just remember, what he says is the first person. That doesn't make him the first person. But in God, he is the first person. Because there is no second person, and there ain't no third person. So he's really not the first person, the prophet said. He is the person. So now we've taken out Revelations 1, that John bows down to this one, and show that that is God. All right? Then you should be able to take out the Revelation 22, and that's the very scripture the prophet used that we're going to read the quotes from. All right, let's read now Revelation 19. So we want to get all of these in, that it happens three times. Revelation 19, verse 10. All right. Now it's an odd situation, but you know, it sure is not odd to me that. Be glad and rejoice, verse 7, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and righteous. And then he saith unto me, Write, for these things which are, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he saith unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
Yeah. Then you go right on down to Revelation's same chapter, Revelation 19, verse 15 and 16, and that's Christ riding back in the millennium. See, that's why I believe. And I'm telling you what I believe. So if I'm wrong, you come and show me. You know, out there on the internet, you come and show me. But don't write me a little quote and say, well, Brother Dale, this is what we do, because we already going to read these quotes.
Right.
So just don't send me a little bitty quote down. Come yourself and let's talk it over. You know. All right? Let's sit down and see what is right and wrong. And let's see what the prophet had to say. All right? So now listen. I gave you those to where he's, where the bride was standing. So listen to what, and look at number six on your numbers on your notes. He's on questions and answers, 1964-08-30 in the evening. Paragraph 1157, question 382. And there's a group of them here, looks to be at least 10 or 15. I don't know what, I didn't go back to look at that because I'm just getting down to the question. All right. They wrote it out on some kind of paper. Said, dear brother, this is question 382. Would Jesus not accept worship in Revelation by John when he fell to, why would not Jesus receive worship in Revelation by John when he allowed worship before him? Why wouldn't Jesus receive worship when John wanted to worship him? My dear brother or sister, whoever it is, it was not Jesus that would not receive worship. In Revelation 22:8, you read it was the prophet, angel, who would not receive worship. When John fell down to worship the angel that had showed him these things, he said, see that you do it not, for I am of thy fellow brethren. I am one of the prophets. See, I am thy fellow brother, thy fellow servant, one of the prophets. Give worship to God. It wasn't Jesus didn't accept it. It was the prophet wouldn't accept it.
Right.
Now the prophet. All right. There's where people get the idea that Brother Branham was, they say it was a prophet. And they say, Brother Branham, now, and I've listened to this be explained, and it's been done for many, many, many years. It's not just started now. This is way back, a long time ago, 30, 40 years ago, when they were talking about it. And they're saying that that was Brother Branham. See? Because Brother Branham was the last prophet. See? All right? And that he come to John to explain the book of Revelations. One reason I have trouble with that is because when Brother Branham came to the book of Revelations, he preached it wrong. Because he preached the White Horse Rider as the Holy Spirit. All right. So then, see, now you're getting into what would be called shaky, milky territory on your thoughts. And see, even when he got over into and started on the seals, when he had went out west and met with the angels of the Lord and come back, he said, I don't know what the first seal is. Go through the breach. You're supposed to have been reading it. I don't know what the second seal is or third. And then when he comes to the first seal, he said, I'd have made a horrible mistake today if he hadn't have come and straightened me out upon what I was fixing to say. Now that's in the first seal. Because what was he going to do? He was going to preach it just like he'd been preaching. Because the angels of the Lord, now a lot of people think that when Brother Branham met the angels in Tucson, that they told him all about the seals. Now, that's not what he said, so I'm going to take his word. Because when he come back, he said, I don't know what they are. I'm waiting too. But a lot of people think that Brother Branham knew all about it when he come into the world. I know people that believe it that way, that Brother Branham, when he was born to prophet, that he knew all the seals and everything. Well, why did he preach it wrong? Now that'd make him a false prophet. See? You understand what you're doing with it, all right? Now, I believe that he was born the prophet, yes. But he was not the Son of Man. He was not born, really, in the basis of what you'd call a Son of Man in the fullness of what he become later. Because he growed in grace and knowledge. See? And you got to leave him with the ability to preach the seals wrong. The thing. But then, that true Son of Man, the Word came to straighten him out. Right? Now, and it, when it did, see? There was the Son of Man. Now, if you know why I believe the Son of Man, I believe the bride of Jesus Christ has to be like Brother Reed was bringing out over the past weekend to us, real marvelous. I believe the Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ in bride form today, right? But that don't make us go to John on Patmos. That makes Patmos come here. I'm not concerned about going to Patmos. I'm concerned about that God that was there to come here to reveal to me. Brother Branham didn't go to Patmos. When he met those angels out there, he said they didn't tell him nothing. Said the only thing they told him was, go back to Jeffersonville. It'll be told you what to do. Now, anybody needs that quote, I'll be glad to supply all that I'm stating to you. Right. But now listen. See, then he said, I didn't put this in yours because I just ran it off a minute ago and thought of it again. Page 74 of the seal book, which is the breach. Brother Branham, I gave it to you there the other week, and he's talking about it. He said, he's talking about the angel, well, let's just read the whole quote. Now, you see, I'm not just making that up. That's what? It's thus saith the Lord. I'll read it to you out of the book. The sounding of the seventh angel's message, the mystery of God should be finished, that's been declared by his holy prophets. That's the prophets who wrote the word. At the sounding of the seventh church age, the last church age, all the loose ends that through these church ages had been probed at will be wound up together. And when the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger, Christ, setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with a rainbow over his head. Now what is that? Revelation 10:1, right? Now watch what he says. And remember, this seventh angel is on earth at the time of this coming. See what Brother Reed was talking about? Revelation 10:1? The seventh angel, he said, was on earth at the time of that coming of Revelation 10:1. And remember, Brother Brown said Revelation 10:1, and I gave them to you along back a few services ago. He said it's the same as Revelation 10:1. It's the same as Revelation 1. The one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlestick like unto the Son of Man. He said it's the same. Now, I didn't say these things. He's the one that said it. But I'm just trying to get you to a point to think about. And why I don't believe Brother Branham come to John on Patmos. I believe God come to John on Patmos. The prophet. That's why he wouldn't accept worship. He was still in that prophetic form. So remember, John is told back over early in the 10th chapter, I believe it is, to eat the book. And said, you must go and prophesy. John is told to eat the book and he must go and prophesy. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that come to John on Patmos. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ that come to Brother Branham in the room to straighten him out. Because he said the Holy Ghost came in the room. Now go back to your seal book and read it. He said the Holy Ghost came in the room. And straightened him out on what he was fixing to say. Alright now. I gave you these off of questions and answers. 1964, this is number 7 on your note. Questions and answers, COD. Paragraph 1018. Question 291. Some say Brother Branham is the Son of Man. I thought the pillar of fire was the Son of Man. Am I mistaken? Well, there's a good question. Very good. But I am not the Son of Man. but a son of man. There's quite a difference. Jesus was the son of man, the son of God, the son of man, the son of David. Then he goes on through it, explaining it, and says what? So I am not the anointed son of man. He even said, I don't claim to be his prophet. Many times I've said it when I didn't think I said it. Catch myself on the tape. But I say that sometimes because if you want to give it to its terms, a prophet is in the English term is merely a preacher. Listen to it. Anybody knows that? Get the dictionary. See, prophet is a preacher under the English dictionary, but under the Hebrew or Greek, a prophet is a seer, one who foresees things and foretells things, but under the English interpretation, a prophet is a seer. All right, now, he goes down to anointed ones at the end time. Preached 1965, 7:25 in the morning. Go down to the second paragraph, you read the others, and you'll see what he's talking about. In the day that the Son of Man is revealed, Revelation 10, 1 through 7. Read it when you get home. The seventh angel's message, opening up the seals, what is it? Not the angel is the Son of Man, but the messenger is revealing the Son of Man. Can you get it separated now? That's where it seems to be so hard for you, you see. Not the Son of Man himself, but the seventh angel, the seventh messenger, is revealing to the public the Son of Man, because it's left to shuck. He can't organize it. It's the grain itself again. And he goes on to explain about the grain and the things. The next one is offered the same anointed ones, the end time, paragraph 98. The Holy Spirit is the prophet of this hour. If you don't know who the prophet is, it's the Holy Spirit. Right. But now listen, I gave you other quotes and things. But I want to just make a few statements and then I'll just quit. Because I don't believe in trying to argue with anybody about it or doing anything. I believe the one that came to John on Patmos was the same one that came to Brother Branham by the opening of the Word. That met him to correct him. To keep him from going wrong. I don't believe he was so messed up like a lot of people think. He was so messed up that the Son of Man had to finally come and straighten him out. No. The only thing he was messed up on was the white horse rider. And listen, nobody could condemn him for believing that. You are nobody else. I hope that goes strong on the tape. Because a prophet stands before no one. That had not been opened. It was part of the Word that was sealed even to Brother Branham. Come on, he said it was. If it hadn't been sealed to him, he wouldn't have preached it wrong. But see, a lot of people in the message think Brother Branham got straightened out by the Son of Man that finally come along. Of course, you know what they keep pointing at. They keep bringing it on down until you finally find out they believe they was the one to straighten Brother Branham out. That's why I always con that phrase. It ain't Samuel Dale nor Lee Vale. Neither one's going to straighten out this prophet. This prophet stands before God. That's why he kept saying, you say what I say because I'll be responsible. And up until Brother Branham preached that and corrected it, even though Clarence Larkin, before Brother Branham came along, Clarence Larkin preached that the white horse rider was the Antichrist. But he was still right in the very system of the Antichrist system. So how could he have done it? He just made a lucky guess or a thought. Maybe something come a little premature to him. But he surely didn't have it straight. Because the whole world was waiting on this prophet to come. The seventh church age messenger. All right, now listen. I gave you a quote and our brother Brown said, he said, I might not have to tell you Sunday. Well, let's just read that. I don't want to miss that one. Let's read. This is page 359 of the seal book, which is on the fifth seal. Have you caught anything? I just wonder if you was. Yes. Yes, sir. I might not have to tell you then Sunday. Notice, wonderful. Now, notice now. And then according to the time that God was going to deliver the Antediluvian world, he sent the eagle. And the time he was going to deliver Israel, sent the eagle. Do you believe that time, even on John, on Patmos, this messenger was so perfect, this message was so perfect, he couldn't trust it with an angel. So that takes Brother Brown totally out of the way as far as an angel. As far as a church age messenger, see? Because that's why I was reading this back over here to where he said, you get it straight, I'm not the Son of Man. He said, I'm a Son of Man. And what? You know an angel is a messenger. But do you know the messenger was a prophet? You believe that? Let's prove it. Revelation 22. Let's see if it was an eagle, see? He was, sure he was an angel. He was a messenger. But it was a prophet that revealed this whole book of Revelations to him. Revelation in the 22nd chapter and the 19th verse. I believe it. I've got it written down there. Revelation 22:19. I may be wrong. No, 22:9. That's what it is. I was looking at 22:9. See? So he reads the scripture. And he reads about that him falling down. And then he says, and no true prophet would be worship or messenger of any kind. He said, I might not have to tell you. This is on the fifth seal. Now listen, and I'll be glad to show you these throughout the seal book. Brother Branham was looking for someone to come. He was looking for a great one to come from the Lord. And like the scripture Brother Reed was using, Revelation 10:1, another mighty angel come down. Read your scripture. It says, and another mighty angel come down. It was signifying that this was not just a regular angel. Now, it would take too long to try to preach all about the angels. So you're going to have to just skip over with me and go on and let's forget it. Because there's heavenly angels, there's earthly angels, there's cherubims, there's seraphims, and there's personal guardian angels, and then there's the Holy Spirit that's your angel. Now, all of them are what the prophet described. Cherubims are more of the earthly form, but seraphims is the burner that keeps the worshiper clean. Now, who keeps the worshiper clean? The Holy Spirit. So who is the seraphims? The Holy Spirit. The Bible does not say the angels, plural, of God are encamped about those who fear him. But Brother Branham would always quote it that way. But the Bible says the angel, singular, of God encampeth about those who fear. Why? Because each one of you born-again believers has got a personal angel. Don't worry about it. One of these days you'll see it. He may be in glory, but he's taking care of you. But only born-again believers have angels. Everybody don't have angels. They want to put angels over babies, angels over this, angels over that. I believe God protects kids. Amen. But only a born-again believer, the prophet said, has an angel that's personally with him. Because that was his angel was with him. Remember, his angel could tell him what the serpent seed was. But the Holy Spirit had to reveal it. His angel could direct him in a lot of things, but the Holy Spirit had to be the one to reveal. Because only the Holy Spirit can reveal. Brother Brown's angel couldn't reveal it. That's why he'd take the rest of the day studying it out. Until the Holy Spirit quickened it unto him. I say and believe. Amen. I believe Brother Branham was the earthly messenger that the heavenly angel of Revelation 10:1 come and united with him. I read you the quote. He said, the seventh angel is on earth at the time of this coming. When was that coming? When he brought the revelation of the seals. So the same one that was shown in Revelation is now the same one that come to Brother Branham. What? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Not Jesus the flesh. That stays on the throne. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, come down to open. See what they're saying about Brother Branham being the one that that come to John, that he was the prophet and brought the revelation to John. Now, an angel can deliver a revelation. A prophet can deliver a revelation. But a prophet can't reveal a revelation. Even Jesus said, "My own life did not reveal that unto thee." It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal the word. Brother Branham was a prophet. But the prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet is that angel that come down in Revelation 10:1. There was the opening of your seals. Because this is the whole thing is the acts and scenes of a play that's taking place. Brother Branham is not here now to speak to you. So who's speaking to you? The Holy Spirit. But it said, but in the days of the voice, because we got the tapes to listen to, we got the books to read. But Brother Branham can't reveal a thing to you. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal. Because if Brother Branham could reveal to you, the sinner could receive it. And the Bible says the natural man does not understand the things of God, because they're spiritually discerned. If you're not born again tonight, you don't have a revelation about this message. Yet you can claim the message all you want to. Just remember, the devil knows this message is right. He knows it's right. Does that make him born again? I'd be glad to show you where the prophet said, it takes a revelation for you to be the new birth. It is a revelation unto you of Jesus Christ. Do you see what I'm talking about? In chapter 1 and chapter 22, both is red letter, showing that it was Christ speaking. That's the one the prophet went to. He was looking for that prophet to come. There's where the catch of it is. I sat on my porch, I've told you many a time, talked to a man that weighed 450 pounds. See, he thought he was the one that Brother Branham come to introduce. That's what he thought. So does the Podarises and the Jacksons and the Hooties and the Whatties all around the message. The Lowrys and the, what was the one down here? George Pikes. I'm not throwing off on them men. They're men. They're all died and gone on, probably. But they thought Brother Branham come to introduce them. Brother Branham come to introduce Jesus Christ to you and I. And he is the Word. That's why I believe it like it is. What was it on Patmos? Sure, the Word was delivered to John, but only to write. But not reveal. It was only to write. Brother Branham said even John heard the thunders. But he couldn't write it. Revelation 10 says it. You see, in the end time, God come down to unite with a man that had spent 30-something years speaking, "Thus saith the Lord," around the world, and sick healed and the dead raised, and things, to prove that backing up the man. That angel of Revelation 10:1 came down through the opening of the word of those seals. Sure, then, you can't separate once it joined. You can't separate. Amen. God used Brother Branham to bring the message to you and I. Without him, we wouldn't have it. But don't put him so far to make him God, because he said that's where you can't get it straightened out. They're an anointed one. He said the seventh angel messenger, he's not the Son of Man. Said he's revealing the Son of Man. Because the Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, then that shows where we're at. Who is it that come to John on Patmos? There's the title of the message. Who come to John? It was God in the form of a prophet. Right. Because he was glad to connect himself, and he said, I'm of thy fellow prophets. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Brother Branham was not the Son of Man. He was a Son of Man to make manifest the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the Word. I believe it's 12, page 12, it's the rising of the sun, where he says, who is this Son of Man? He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. What come to John on Patmos? The Word. What come to Brother Branham up there? The Word. If you'll check it out sometime and read the seal book and check how many different forms that he speaks of. And it must have been a pretty good sizable room that he was in, because he sure brings a lot of things out. He said the pillar of fire was there. He said the angel of the Lord was there. He said the Holy Spirit was there. I mean, that's all just memory off the top of my head of what he was saying was in that little room. But who was it? The Lord Jesus Christ appearing personally to a prophet to reveal. Because he appeared personally to a prophet back there to write. Revelation 10:1 shows you he come down. That's why it's called another mighty angel. He come down to bring the message. Now let me say it like this. Brother Branham could be wrong before the seals broke, right? Just about the seal now, not about all the other part of the message. You show me anywhere else he was wrong other than the white horse rider. I'm not saying he was wrong, you know. No, the only thing he was wrong on was the white horse rider. But remember, the top hadn't been pried off of that pyramid at that time, and nobody could see what was inside of there. That's what he said. But now listen. There's no way that that could be you and me. There's no way that that could be Brother Branham there. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant. And Brother Branham was the one God used to speak to you and I. And we give him all the honor and the glory, but he was not the God of the Word. He was not the Son of Man. He said, I might not have to tell you if you'll listen. Because what did he say when he got over on the seventh seal? He said, it's not been a man this week. He said, it's been the angels of the Lord bringing us back here for this message tonight. He said, you can see why that seventh angel was so, he was so excited, or what the words he used there. Because it did connect to him. A lot of people believe that the seven thunders are the seven church age messengers and their voices. I don't believe that. Because the seven thunders is the coming of the Lord over here in the end time. And when that angel come down, the mighty angel of Revelation 10:1, he come down to reveal Christ. Not to reveal Brother Branham. He preached 30-something years. Then the seals broke. And when the seals broke, he said it became a brand new book. Not a different book. A brand new book. Why? Because there was things there that man had never seen. And you and I were not responsible, and the Bible says that God winked at our ignorance. But now he commandeth all men to repent. The Christ is that angel of the covenant. That's why God can be in many forms. There's no problem on the River Jordan for Jesus to be standing there. Born Emmanuel. Anointed the Christ. And then here comes a dove down. And then a voice speaks from heaven. Is that three gods? No. But it's three forms. It's the way God is revealing himself. And in the end time, it comes down to the life form being in bride. We are part of the mystery. Here's Brother Branham up until the seals broke. He could have something wrong. I had to preach long enough to get the thought back, okay? He could say things wrong about the White Horse Rider. But when he got into them seals, he answered a question wrong. Now, to show you what was on the scene, he answered a question wrong. God let Brother Branham go preaching the White Horse Rider as the Holy Ghost for many, many years. It's back in the first, was in, I think, in the Church Age there. I know it's in the Church Age series back in the 60s and things. He let him go a long time and didn't correct him. He didn't correct him back there. But to show you who was on the scene, he answered that question wrong. Remember about Revelations 5? It's about 500 of the seal book right along in there somewhere. 502. He starts speaking on and he does and he stops and he said, something's wrong. He said, what's wrong? Is somebody sick or something? What's wrong? Brother Ned Iverson lived down here in Augusta. He's dead now. Brother Ned told him, said, Brother Branham, read the question over again in the scripture. And he read it, and he was answering it wrong. Because he was using the thought that from Revelation 4:1, the bride's not seen anymore. You know? But see, there she was seen in heaven in Revelation 5. He answered the question and says, no, that's not the bride. Then he come back and he said, yes, that is the bride. He said, now look. He said, look what he done. Said he wouldn't let me answer that question wrong. Look who was on the scene. Get on over in a lot of the other conduct order and doctrines and things where he'd say, look, said, see what he thought of that? He said, see, I said dove and lamb, and he said, look what he thought. He said, he wouldn't let me say those things. He said, because he said maybe some theologian sitting out there would hear it. What's my point? After the seals broke, you show me one thing Brother Branham said wrong. Now, not Martha and Mary. Because about the time you start talking about Martha and Mary, your big blabbermouth is going to say the same thing and do something wrong too. So I'm sorry to say it that way, but it's the best way to say it. I have a lot of people accuse me because I don't read Scripture exactly right. Then they get up to read Scriptures and they read them wrong too. And I just sit there and grin. I don't get up, hey, you read it wrong. No, because that's human. Brother Branham said, Martha and Mary and 500 and 5,000. And but show me where he missed his doctrine. Why? Because the Son of Man had so connected with a Son of Man until that was the closest thing to God on the earth before the rapture comes. I believe that. I believe Brother Branham was the closest thing to God before the rapture came, but he wasn't God. But God had united. But at the time of the rapture, God is going to unite with the bride. Then you'll understand what he was and what we are. And when we get there, we'll give all the glory to him. Don't you worry about it. I'm not belittling him in any way. I'm trying to just preach the truth. I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ that come to John on Patmos. I believe I proved it by the Bible and the prophet's message. But that's up to you. Because I can't convince you anyway. I wouldn't try to. There's no way in the world would I ever try to convince you of something. That's why when I preach something, you see me, I just go on. Well, because I'm not going to try to prove it. It's up to God whether it's the truth or not. And if God will bring it to us and show us, I believe he's the one that's on the scene anyway. Who's the one I'm bragging about? Come on, brother boy. I'm bragging about the Lord Jesus Christ. That way I don't have to deny any quote the prophet said. When he said that was a prophet that come to John on Patmos. Amen! when he said it wasn't an angel. Amen. But you show me where he ever said it was him. Because it was the one he was always looking for. Get over in the seventh seal. I believe it's right. Might be in the questions and answers right in there. And see if he didn't say it like this. He said, if this is not the one, he said, maybe I'm laying the foundation. And said, if this is the one, he said, I'll be leaving the scene. He said, because both of us won't be here at the same time. Well, he certainly wasn't talking about some man to walk out, was he? I was up in Jeffersonville, Indiana years ago, and a man was talking to me about it. And I told him this. I said, I'm looking not for a man. And I told that man sitting down on the porch that day about it. I said, I'm not looking for a human element to walk on the earth that will claim to be something, God or some manifestation, something. I don't care how many dead they raise. I don't care how many, what the sickness has done. I don't care what kind of signs and wonders they bring. Because the Bible says even if they give you a sign and it comes to pass, and they take you to another god, don't believe them, because I sent that among you to try you. That's what the Bible says. We only quote the one where if a prophet speaks a sign and it comes to pass. Keep reading the Bible till you find out. I'll be glad to show it to you at a service where he said, if a man comes and gives you a sign and it comes to pass, but he leads you to another god, said, don't you believe him. This message has brought me to God. That's how much I think of the man that delivered it. But I believe if the man was standing here tonight, he would say, brother, keep preaching. Because I am not God. Jesus Christ is Almighty God. The God of the prophets. The God of the prophets. That's who Moses said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me. He didn't say God will raise up a man like me that's going to go out here and do all the mistakes I've made. He said he's going to raise up a prophet like unto me. And he said, you better hear him. You had never noticed at times a prophet would appear. Let's see, I can't remember the exact time. Maybe somebody can call her name. But there was a man and a woman sitting in front of a fire there. And God came right out of the, or the prophet come right out of the fire and walked out. When he went back into the fire. And what did the man say? We've been in the presence of God. They say people walk up to Brother Branham. They said you could feel. They said he'd walk to the platform and just say, good evening. And people just melt because that man lived so close to God. He dedicated his whole life to traveling the world and praying and fasting to bring the message to you and I. Rejected his family as far as living, you know, staying at home with him. Went out, gone all the time. Sick. And all, but out there preaching. Grass Valley, California, 1962. Praying, seeing the sick, healing the dead, raised, and going to the doctor every day. He was very close. Very, very close. He said, if you call me Antichrist, you're further off than you are if you call me Jesus Christ. And that's what he said. Because look how close he lived to God to bring a message to you and I. That's how much I think about him. But he's not my God. Man up there in Indiana, I was going to say a while ago, he said, you know, Brother Branham was God. Said he was the anointed. I said, listen, brother. I said this brother over here has got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, you call Brother Branham deity. I said, this brother over here has got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, that's deity living in him by the new birth. I said, if you'll accept the fact that he's deity like Brother Branham is deity, apart from the prophet messenger and the signs and the wonders, but as two individual people, if you'll say that man is deity and Brother Branham is deity, I said, I'll agree with you that it's deity. He said, no, sir, I will not accept that. I said, okay. Then you believe he was deity. You believe he was God. I believe he was the closest thing to God upon the earth to you and I. You just think of what a day it's going to be when we get there. And we can thank him for bringing the message. He could have stayed at home and been with his family. He could have been a wilderness prophet as he wanted to be. He could have stomped out of the wilderness and brought, thus saith the Lord, and went back like the other prophets. But instead of that, he had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost wouldn't let him go out there in the wilderness and stay by himself. He would take him out there in the wilderness and bring him the word, and he'd have to come back and deliver it to the people. You get on the sixth seal and read it and see if he didn't make this statement. He said, God, I can't tell them people that. What about a man that could decide what to tell you and I? That's close, but it's still not God. Still, we know who to worship. Let's stand. 290 in the Red Book. Think on these things. Who was it that come to John? Jesus, I surrender all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust in his presence daily. You have a need? Come and let's see if that Lord Jesus Christ still lives. See if he'll come all the way from glory right to you and to your heart. See who he is. Surrender all to Jesus. Come and let's believe and see. Amen. I believe it. Everybody knows the story of Brother Ray. They've told him that his hemoglobin, the blood, is low. That's a sign of cancer. That's a sign. He's putting blood through him. That's a bad sign. But we don't look to signs. We look to the Savior. The same one that made the body can heal the body. I believe that God is going to make our brother all right. What about you? Let's believe it and see. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for doctors. Good doctors that can help us and tell us these things. We're not upset with them. We're upset with the devil for what he's done to our brother and trying to bring these things back upon him that he's been operated on and everything's been taken away. Father, the same one that took it away there is the same one that will take it away now. But we believe you, Father. We lay our hands upon our brother, doubting our doubts that no matter what, we still believe you. That by your stripes our brother is healed. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we count it so. We say it and we don't doubt in our minds. So then, Lord, we take up on our lips the words of that you said. You said if any born-again believer would take upon his lips, upon his heart, the word and speak that word, that it was the same as deity speaking. We believe you, Father. In Jesus' name we commit this unto you. And Satan, we adjure thee in Jesus' name that you leave our brother's body of these things that's causing all of this problem. In Jesus' name. Amen. Believe and see. Anybody else? If you believe it, be it unto you according to what you believe. See, we're trying to wait. That's what I want to get on Sunday. God spoke to me about something that I've studied it from the beginning in this message. And He spoke to my heart about it. I want to try to bring it to you. See, we're trying to wait on something. We're trying to wait on something to happen. Then we can believe it. That is not in the Bible. We want to hear Brother Brown say, "Thus saith the Lord." I ask you to go home. Take your Bible and read the entire New Testament and find one time that it says, "Thus saith the Lord." Come on. Find me one time in the New Testament it says, "Thus saith the Lord." Bring it to me. Paul, Peter and them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." He didn't say, "Thus saith the Lord." "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." He never said, "Thus saith the Lord." "Thus saith the Lord" is not a New Testament form. Yet everybody's waiting on "Thus saith the Lord." If you stand and tell them, "That's thus saith the Lord." "Well, I can believe that a little better now, you know, because he said it was thus saith the Lord." That's not a New Testament form. I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. How many times do you think Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord"? How many times do you think Joshua said, "Thus saith the Lord"? Moses said 10 times. "Thus saith the Lord." Joshua said 2 times. I'm pretty sure those numbers are right. I'll bring it Sunday. But yet, "Thus saith the Lord" is used over 400 times in the Old Testament. But isn't it odd that Moses and Joshua didn't use it that much? Maybe we ought to listen. "You, Lord, I love." Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being out tonight. We thank you for your love and your grace and your guidance unto us. We pray that what we said would be acceptable in your sight. If not, let us know, Father. We'll do everything we can to make it right. We just tell everybody what we believe. That way, at least I can be helped, Father, because somebody can come along and say, "You're wrong here." And show me. And then you show me, Father. I'll be glad to accept correction from you, Father. Lord, just have your way with us. Bless on the way home. Take care of the people. Give a safe journey. Let your love be made manifest in each one of us. We commit the whole service and everything to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. You dismiss. Pray one for another.